This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
So we'll pass along these stories. They keep on coming out. Tyrann Mathieu's been cut by the Arizona Cardinals. He's available. Macklin is available as well. He's out. We're going to see other named players today as we approach the 4 o'clock Eastern time NFL free agent slash new league year. Names being out there. It doesn't mean those guys won't go back, but their current deals are going to be cut up, ripped up, whatever you want to call it, making them available come at 4 o'clock Eastern time. So we'll watch that for you. All right, back to college basketball. The Carolina Tar Heels are a 2 seed. They are a very interesting team in this bracket. They're in a very winnable bracket in the West. There isn't really a dominant team in the West. Xavier, by far the weakest number one of all the four number ones. And then you've got teams like Missouri, which is kind of a sleeper in this one. Michigan's playing well, but I think Carolina's got more talent. Let's talk to Al Hood, contributor for the Tar Heel blog, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Al happens to be in my home city of Boston, Mass. Al, do you have power, my friend?
We do. Nothing. I live in the city, so thank God for an underground power grid.
Unbelievable. How much snow did you guys get?
The city got about a foot and a half. Some areas around here got about 2 feet. It was fun. Another winter in Boston.
That's one word for it, fun. Yeah, my family in Andover, I don't know how much fun they're having in Andover, a little bit north of the city. But
once you get out of the city and the power lines become exposed, I think there's still in 6 digits of people that are out of power. This is like the third nor'easter we've had in the past 2 weeks. It's just the price of living up here, man. I wish I was out there in Vegas with you.
Yeah, I'll take my 70 degree temperatures today for sure. I sent pictures to my family as being a smartass and going and taking pictures and showing them what I'm dealing with out my window versus what they're dealing with outside of their window. So payback is fun.
I try to get even with my family and friends when it's like 70 degrees here in July and down there it's like 100 degrees. I'm like, hey, this is why I put up with the winters.
Good point. It's very true. All right, so this is a very interesting Carolina team. They struggled a bit this year, but they rebounded to get a number 2 seed. Some people are saying that they're lying in the weeds. They've got some veteran leaders, some guys who know how to win championships and know how to get to Final Fours. What do you make of the draw for Carolina here in the dance?
I think as Carolina fans, I mean, pretty much it's a universal thumbs up. Like it's like you said, I mean, you're not going to take any team lightly. One of the things about being a fan of this team is that anything can happen in this tournament. But I mean, they didn't set any landmines for us. There isn't that rival that they set for TV purposes, like how Kentucky was conveniently a 2 seed last year.
Right.
The only one that's in there that sets up that potential rematch is that Michigan one that you mentioned for a 3 seed. If they make it through, they've got to get by a pretty tough Houston team to make it there, though. This year in basketball, I mean, obviously any team that can lose to Wofford at home can absolutely lose at any point. But, I mean, I think in terms of a draw, we got about as best as we could ask for.
This North Carolina team is one that I like a lot from a tournament perspective because they've got some guys who have been through this before. People have been saying Lipscomb is not a pushover. Are you at all concerned about the 15-seeded team that Carolina plays in round one?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's always a chance. You can ask our neighbors 8 miles down the road about playing a 15-seed. A couple of things to keep in mind with Carolina teams. One, especially with Roy Williams, they perform to seed. When they lose in the tournament, they typically lose to a team that's either 1 seed right below them or to a higher seeded team, especially recently. Two, Lipscomb, early scouting on it has been that they prefer to push the tempo. They like to play, their tempo efficiency is one of the top in the country. They love playing fastball, which is great because teams that try to do that against Roy Williams' squad typically don't like the result. That is Roy's preferred method of playing. He's got the talent for it, and these guys are going to be coming off of 6 days of rest after a 4-day run in the ACC tournament, playing in Charlotte in the early day session, which will be pretty much a home court advantage for them. I mean, obviously, you're a little bit worried, as you know, this time of year, but you know, it's a 15. If you're looking for a 15 that can sneak up on a 2, you probably would want to look somewhere else.
If my memory serves me correctly, when Lehigh beat Duke in Greensboro in 2012, Carolina played Creighton that year, right? Was that the Creighton year?
That is, unfortunately, the Creighton year, yes.
And that's the injury. Who got hurt in that game the Tar Heel fans still, you guys still get angry about?
Kendall Marshall. and the good fans, the good folks of Creighton are actually in Charlotte this weekend as well. They're on Virginia's side. If Creighton makes it to Sunday and we make it to Sunday, that should be some awkward interactions between the two fans.
So you guys still are really ticked off at that, huh? I was running the Creighton rival site, so I was there. I was in Greensboro for that game, and I remember looking at my Twitter feed on the way out on the media bus leaving, and Tar Heel fans literally blaming the loss. I guess you guys lost the next game, right? Because you guys beat Creighton and then you lost.
We made it to the Elite Eight that year. Lost, if I remember correctly, we lost to Kentucky. It was Kentucky, because that was the year they ended up winning the whole thing. No, we lost to Kansas, and Kentucky ended up winning the whole thing. That's right, we lost to Kansas. Because our thought was that if we could have seen Kentucky in the Final Four with a healthy Kendall Marshall, we would have taken it easily. We made it to the Elite Eight with a freshman point guard, Stillman White, who ended up going on a mission for 2 years after that, so just graduated last year. They held on a little bit while, but the joke with we have long memories, because when
yes, you guys do.
When Hall for UVA was announced, he's got a broken wrist and he's going to be out for the rest of the year, my Twitter pretty much filled up with all Carolina fans saying, geez, Creighton does their work early this time around.
You know, Ethan Rogge's a really good guy. I don't know if you guys know. He's one of the best shooters to ever come out of that program. He's overseas. He's been playing international basketball for a while. And I can't believe the Kendall Marshall injury and the Ethan Rogge story is still here, 6 years later, is still being talked about by Tar Heel fans.
Well, the thing is that we just, it's the frustration, because that was a national championship caliber team. It was frustrating because we saw Kentucky win, that we knew we could beat those guys. And the way Roy recruits, the way things cycle around, you know, they just won it in 2009, you know, 2012, the way everything had built up. It just felt like that was just a cruel twist of fate, because Marshall ended up rightfully going to the NBA after that. I mean, you can't say it's the wrong decision when he's drafted 8 in the NBA.
Right.
And it just kicked everything back over to the beginning. You know, they were an 8 seed the next year, 4 seed the next year. Then the heartbreaker shot against Villanova. We knew that was a cycle, and you only get so many chances when you have a great team to advance and to contend for a title, and at the time you just don't know when that next chance is going to be. I mean, we've been very spoiled with this run, and Roy Williams is, I still don't think he gets enough credit for the level of coaching as to what he's done. I mean, just two national championships games, and like you said, I mean, this, because of this draw, he could be looking at 3 Final Fours in a row.
Talking to Al Hood, Tar Heel blog, SB Nation site, covering North Carolina as they start against Lipscomb, in the NCAA tournament. And any worries about, and I think Providence does win the next game over A&M, their first game. Any worries about Providence and the way that they played in the Big East tournament, going to 3 straight overtimes and really pushing Villanova all the way to the brink?
Well, that definitely is a worry. They're definitely ones that can sneak up, because if we do end up playing them, that'll be our third time of playing them. I think I want to say this decade. Last time we played them was in 2016, we're undefeated against them. So it gets to a point where you have the same coach and you keep beating the same team. At some point, they're able to use that motivation. They have the track record of doing well against top teams in the Big East, so you know they're not going to be afraid. It's obviously worry wise. It's there. But at the same time, you know, you've got the senior leadership there of Simpson and Barry, who know that this is their last chance. And if you're asking for, if you want to know about two guys who just are going to grind down and buckle down when to get things done when it needs to be done, it's going to be those two. I mean, all you have to do is just look at last year in the Arkansas game in the second round, where we had almost given up hope, and then in the blink of an eye, they came back to win it. So yeah, there's a worry there. You know, we've got a history with them. At some point, they've seen it. They want to try to get over that hump, but. I think this team definitely has the talent to beat them.
Very cool. Al, thank you for the time. Enjoy the tournament. Should be a lot of fun to see where Carolina winds up.
Cool. Thank you so much.
That is Al Hood, TarHeelBlog.com, SB Nation site covering North Carolina. On the official bracket that we put out, I got to remember where I have Carolina. I think I've got Carolina losing to Gonzaga, and I do. So I have Gonzaga winning that bracket, but I've got UNC in the Elite Eight. I've got them beating Providence. I think it's going to be a really hard game for them, but I do think Carolina ekes out the win over Providence. Michigan also, I think, would be a really tough opponent for Carolina, but I've got UNC losing in Los Angeles to Gonzaga, and as I talked about earlier in the hour, that's a popular opinion, and I hate that. Contrarian, when it comes to brackets in what happens, so often contrarian brackets are the ones that wind up winning it, just because the public sentiment, what you think is going to happen, doesn't end up happening. I am curious about who comes out of the bracket that gets them in the Sweet 16, because I have Michigan beating Houston. But Houston's going to be a really tough team, and that's actually one of the games I have circled as a must-watch. I'm not going to bet Houston in South Dakota State. It's San Diego State, but I am definitely going to watch it, because that's a team. San Diego State, is a team that plays at home in front of one of the best home atmospheres in college basketball, and they're out of the Mountain West. They're a tough team, and they're always pesky. They're always a team that you kind of overlook and undervalue, and then they come up and bite somebody. In Houston, that's a team, a program on the rise. They got some nice attention this year out of the American, and I am definitely interested in watching that game. I went back and forth on that pick. I ultimately went with Houston, and then having Michigan beating Houston in the second round. West is wide open. If you want to tell me you have Carolina, fine. I've got maybe the bigger upset. One of the bigger upsets I've pulled is I think Missouri is going to be a huge story here in this dance. I think that Porter Jr. is going to be a stud in this tournament. And when you have legit NBA talent, it's one reason why I've been hemming and hawing on my Virginia-Arizona pick. I think Arizona beats Kentucky, and I think Virginia gets out of the bracket to get to the Sweet 16 and then plays Arizona. I don't know what to... DeAndre Ayton could beat them, and the DeAndre Hunter injury is huge for Virginia, and I'm actually really mad that injury did not come out prior to all of us, quote, submitting our brackets, because I'm going to do brackets today with that knowledge, and my bracket's going to be really almost entirely different due to the injury to Hunter. Virginia losing him is a big deal. Sixth man of the year in the ACC, huge game-changing player who comes off the bench, who gives them offensive firepower that they need because they don't score a ton. Long, athletic player. Losing him for the tournament's a big deal for Virginia. I don't think that's being talked about nearly enough as to what Hunter, his loss, does to Virginia. So my quote-unquote official bracket has Virginia in the championship game, and I'm really kind of mad. And I got to make a call here. I may need to make an executive decision here. I may need to rework my bracket, because the games haven't technically started yet, and the injury to Hunter might change things a lot, because I might be taking Arizona now. I got to think about this today. I'll tell you about this tomorrow when we come on the air, or at least on Twitter I'll tell you. I don't know about that. I got to make an executive decision on that as to what to do with Virginia and Hunter, because that does change a ton of things for me in terms of what Virginia might wind up doing. We got a lot more to come. Free agency starts in just about 2 hours. More news from the NFL next. SB Nation Radio.